Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they cannot get to work. As always, I'm joined by producer Joel.
Hello.
There he is. How's it going in Stratford?
It's okay over here.
Can
it's sunny.
Can you hear Very that sunny. Weird noise in the background here?
No. Can you hear the dog barking in the background here?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Well, my neighbour's pumping up a paddling pool, and he's been doing it for about 2 hours, and he's just making this...
How big is it? Are you sure that's what he's doing?
Let me look. Yeah, that's definitely a paddling pool, mate, and there is no air in it.
Wow.
It's not working, mate. It's not working.
I thought you were supposed to fill him up with water.
He stopped. No. He's definitely pumping it up. Yeah, so just apologies if you hear that in the background. I'm not sure how much this mic picks up, but that's what it is. Coolio, yeah. So nothing to report? You said something about nice weather, did you? I was sort of getting distracted by the noise in my garden.
Nice.
My garden.
That's fair enough. Are you jealous of the paddling pool?
What? Jealous of a deflated paddling pool? No.
No, just general access to a paddling pool.
Well, technically, it's a communal garden. So if I wanted to jump in there, I could, I suppose. But they've sort of just taken over the garden bit and no one really seems to be bothered.
I always think paddling pools are quite gross.
What?
They get really scummy really quickly, don't they? That's my memory from being a kid.
Only when you get in it, mate.
Because everyone... Yeah, maybe I'm the common denominator there.
I think so.
All paddling pools are gross.
Let's crack on with introducing this week. This week we have Kelly Convey.
Whee!
Yeah, here she is. How's the lockdown for you?
To be honest with you, babe, I've really enjoyed it.
There's been a lot of people say that.
I really have. I've just
time.
Been like doing bits and bobs that I never usually get round to doing. Like I actually I have to be honest with you, it was painting in the front of my house when you text and I was like, oh shit, Mark. I didn't realise
really?
The time, but I've just been painting the windowsills.
Literally
living my best life.
Like a proper
grown-up. Yeah, like actually doing grown-up stuff. So I have enjoyed it. I've been looking forward to like being at home with my other half because we're like ships in the night usually.
What does he do?
He's a key
lockdown?
Worker, but he's working from home. So he works for the UK Power Network. So like the electricity boards, they're like obviously crucial and have to be working. So he's non-stop working. So I've always fantasized, because obviously at home during the day, I've always fantasized about him working from home and how wonderful it'd be, but it's just him working the entire time. It's actually really shit.
So did you see Edinburgh's been cancelled?
I did, yes.
Were you going? Your year off isn't really a year off anymore. Everyone's
doing
it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. Like, it's almost like my absence isn't going to be noticed, but I'm sure my absence wasn't going to be noticed anyway. I've like plucked up the courage, like told my agent, I was like, I'm not going to go to Edinburgh. I really need this year off. I need to go. I was getting married in July.
My mate's wedding's been cancelled in May.
Yeah.
Christ. That's stressful, right?
Yeah, we had 5 weddings this year, ours included, 4 of them, the other 4 are in June. It looks like they're all going to be cancelled. I plucked up the courage and was like, no, I'm going to put myself first. I'm going to do my wedding. I'm not going to Edinburgh, and went for all of that when it would have just got cancelled anyway.
Yeah, you should have just held your nerve.
Yeah, you can predict these things usually.
So had you started writing the new show?
No, because I think I knew that I wasn't going to go. I'm sure you're the same as it. It's always every single bit of new material becomes like, oh, that could work well in a show about this. So I've always got it on the back of my mind just because it haunts me. No, I hadn't started writing it. So I am quite fortunate in that sense, because I do feel for people that were really preparing, especially for their debuts, and they were really sort of...
But their debuts are going to be even
better
now, if they've got another year.
Yeah.
Although there might be more competition next time. Who knows? It'll be oversubscribed next time.
Well, I don't know.
Everyone
or is it the downfall of Edinburgh? I don't know.
Who knows? Wow. So last year you did a show.
I did.
Was that your debut?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, cool. So let's talk about stuff that you were sort of going through before you did Edinburgh. So when you were working stuff in. So what stuff have you got that you ditched because it just didn't quite make it?
Well, there's this funny bit in my show which I actually sort of took in and took out and took in and took out,
was it about the okie koki?
Oh my god, how did you know? That was very quick, man. Well done, man. Well done. You were so amazing. There's this bit about my now old next door neighbor Veronica, who is a massive part of my life. And she's like 74-year-old Jamaican lady. And I have this whole bit about her, which she loves.
Has she come and seen it?
She's been to quite a few of my gigs. She loves it. Bless her. I mean, one time I did actually bring her to a preview for my show in Edinburgh, and she fell asleep on the front row, which was a real compliment.
I had that when I did a cruise ship once. I had about 2 or 3 people fell asleep. But apparently that's okay. You shouldn't be offended.
that's actually good innings. So it's just, you know, yes, it is a white girl impersonating. Because I do this whole scene with me and her and doing my ropey Jamaican accent. And I found that, like, in more integrated areas and more multicultural places, people find it funny. And, V loves it. Like, you know, she loves that she's part of the show. Then I took it to Edinburgh, and I think even a review said, I hope she stops doing that impression of her neighbour. and it was this, you know, I suppose a very awkward moment within the show where people didn't know how to react, and I think that's, you know, a very white middle class Edinburgh audience, so I would drop it, and then I would think, no, I really love that bit, and it's there's no malice in it. Like, it's just, you know, although maybe if my Jamaican accent was better, you know, because I'm like, girl, you know, I don't know if that's like I mean, you know, from the horse's mouth, Veronica loves it. So I don't know.
But what's the actual bit about?
So it's about how every year I take her to to something new for her birthday, because she's like, she goes mental about her birthday. It's the 5th of February, and like, I've taken her on like a tea bus and all this stuff. And then this year she's always wanted to go pan de shard, right? She always wanted to go on the shard. No, sorry. Okay. Pan de London Eye, right? Pan de Eye. Want to go Pan de Eye. She's always talked about the eye as if it's like this amazing spectacle. So I took her Pan de Eye, and I took her through the champagne thing and, the whole shebang. And she just wasn't being very grateful. And it was really annoying me. We were just going off and she wasn't really saying much. And I don't know if you've been on the London Eye, but it is actually so boring. So we're like halfway up the London Eye, and then she like pushes me to one side. I'm like, "You even having a good time, V?" And she's sort of like, "Is that the shard over there?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's the shard." She's sort of like, "Next year." And it's a very small, silly, it's a part of a larger thing about talking about the Windrush generation, talking about Brixton and all this stuff. Because my grandparents are from Brixton, and so is Veronica, and blah, blah, blah. So it was part of a bigger part. But as soon as I went into that impression of her, it fell on its knees.
And do you think did you need that bit? Like, did you ever try it without the impression but do the same bit? Or did it lose its kind of feeling?
Well, I found it quite hard to... I wanted to get her character across. And she's got such a character. Like, she's always telling me my butt is looking big, and like, she's just, she's full of life. For a 74-year-old, she is like my inspiration of, well, I would love to be that active. And I found it quite hard to describe her without, trying to embody her. So I did try it without, but then it just seemed weird. Yeah, bland. And also I wanted it as almost like an ode to V, she loves that little shout out part. She thinks she's like the queen when I do it. And it just lost all sense.
So when you talk, I'm assuming you spoke about the fact that you're not sure if you sort of can get away with doing it. What does she think of that as a problem?
She thinks it's mental. Like she was so disappointed because I'd taken it out of the show. And I just, I think, I mean, you obviously know Ishan Akbar. He's a good friend of mine. And we talk about that kind of... when you've got an interracial friendship or relationship or whatever, is that you have this looseness and this freeness to sort of say things that I suppose people that don't have those relationships don't really understand. And so when V and I are alone and, just hanging out, because we do, I know it's weird that I hang out with a 74-year-old, but she's awesome. We say things that probably, I shouldn't say on stage. Like, she says to me all the time, because she's coming to the wedding, obviously, and she's all like, "Am I the only black person there?" I'm like, "Yeah, you are the only black person there." She's like, "Good, I'm going to get a big hat." I love that about her. She's like, "I don't want any other black people there. I want to be there," but I think if you say that in the Midlands or, wherever, they just don't get it, and they feel uncomfortable and nervous about that, I suppose.
So you would have got a vibe from the audience when you did the bit. Did you ever have anyone mention anything afterwards, after previews and things?
Not really. No, I think doing previews in London is a dangerous thing, because not all my previews were in London, but I think London is a very liberal, integrated, open-minded audience. And they will allow and go with things a lot further than, say, somewhere quite rural. So, and I think that, your typical Londoner isn't necessarily your Edinburgh audience. It's more of those anoraki kind of middle class, middle England people, and you know they're great people. I'm not bashing them, but they are a harder audience. Actually, they are a lot more questionable and a lot more maybe untrusting of things.
I guess, and you'd need to really spoon feed them to know you're not laughing at the act. Do you know what I mean? That's the trouble, isn't it? And then if you have to spoon feed too much, it ruins the bit.
Exactly that. I mean, the worst thing is to ever explain a joke. I actually had this recently supporting Adam Hills. You know, obviously Adam's going to have a slightly different demographic to mine. It was really strange. I've got a joke about Harvey Weinstein because I actually met Harvey Weinstein in like 2011. I feel like I'm going into the bit now, which is terrible. You know, when you do that, you start to...
That's all right. I
met him and, you know, essentially the joke is that, you know, when this all came out, my knee-jerk reaction was like, we didn't fucking try it on with me. Like kind of like, what? You know? And that's always been a real, like, I've never had... you know, it's always been a real banker. It's always had a massive reaction. The very first time, and I've been doing that joke for a while now, and the very first time is supporting Adam, and obviously I want to do my best, and you know, and
of course, yeah,
and I do that line, and then about four or five jokes later, some bloke right at the back was all like, it's not funny. And I was literally at the build up to a punchline and I said, sorry? He said, Harvey Weinstein, your joke about Harvey Weinstein is not funny. And I was like, mate, I did that joke about 10 minutes ago. What are you talking about? And he got really angry. And actually, you can tell rest of the audience were really on my side. And I sort of said, well, you know, it's the truth. I'm actually, if you think about, and I had to almost do that moment where you undo it and you go, no, the joke is, it's not about, it's like, I don't think rape is a particular, I said, no, it's not about that.
That's not what you're laughing
at. It's about me being so self-involved that I was actually bothered that he hadn't. And then, it was just this weird moment where that kind of questioning of what you're saying and how it should be said.
Did that make the gig weird, or did they sort of stay
on board
with you?
It did a bit. I think there were. What happened was is that I was in a.
Oh, this was at the Adam Hills one as well.
Yes, this was. Yeah, and.
That's the last thing you want, because all of a sudden you got added pressure on you, thinking. Oh, God, is it bad? Oh, my God, it makes you look bad, doesn't it?
Exactly, because you're there to support someone else and you're there to be the fluffer almost, you know. And this was towards the end of, like, my 25, half-an-hour set. And it was genuinely about 10 minutes after I said the joke. So I must have said the joke and he must have sat there stewing and thinking about it. And he was quite drunk as well. Suddenly had this outburst when the show had completely moved on. And so I had to sort of, and it was right on the punchline of what I was about to say. And I'd involved a couple on the front row and I went, that punchline's gone. And the girl on the front row, bless her, that I'd involved, she went, no, I want to hear it. And then I had to say it. And then everyone was all like, ha, 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 ha. Because obviously it's lost its momentum. But no, it did recover. And actually, Adam, being the loveliest man in the world, he when he went out to start the show, he went out and just sort of threw the guy a bone and was like, I think there was a bit of confusion in the first bit. I think you were just trying to add your own joke, right, mate? Like giving him an out. And the guy was all like, absolutely not. It's not, and went off of him. Just said, it's not funny. And then some young guy right down the front just turned around and was like, it was when she said it. And then everyone clapped and laughed and then it all moved on.
Yeah. So what did Adam see that all
happen?
He
heard it. Yeah, bless him.
In the dressing room. Oh, that's... Wow, it's a story,
it
isn't it?
It's one to add to the list.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So so have you got any other stuff like that that's happened with bits that people just... Because that's the trouble, is you just got to... Like, it's a risk, isn't it, with topics like that, that some people just don't have that right sense of humour and don't get what you're getting.
Yeah, and I think that the development of my content and the jokes that I have written and said on stage has really evolved and... I mean, I haven't been going very long, but I had to go from sort of open mics to paid very quickly because I got like signed within the year. So when I look back to my original stuff, it was so different to what I do now. It was all very... it was just so smutty and so just so I'd be so embarrassed to say some of the things that I said then.
Were you just trying to get a reaction? Was it back in those days where you don't know when you start, you don't know how to write a joke, so you just when you're up there you just try to get something from
the audience? I think that it was partly that. I was a different person. I was single. And I had a 7-minute bit about masturbation, Mark. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Was it in real time?
I just masturbated for 7 minutes. That definitely got a reaction. I think that some...
7 minutes is a long time.
It's a lot of thrash. but I think... It's someone once told me that when you start in comedy, you start with your bits and then you go to your heart and then you go to your head. So, like, you start out with...
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Do you know what? I hate the fact that I can't remember who told me that, but it's something that stuck with me forever. It's so correct because you start out with all the sex jokes because that's what everyone finds funny, that's what everyone connects with, and it's just an easy go-to. And then you move on to who you are and your heart and where you come from and what you do and what you stand for. And then you go to your head and you might talk about more current affairs or you know, topical things. And I would say that I'm sort of at my rib cage at the moment. I'd say I'm in between the two. And I think that with experience, you find your voice and also... Like I want to like make people laugh, but for like a reason, and that's not me saying that I'm a political or anything, because I don't really like comedy like that. But I think it's like you just said, it's not about like tricking people into laughing. It should be like a really genuine laugh, and I'm still got a lot of work to do on that. But I feel like now I'm making people laugh. It's hard to explain, like laugh because it's an actual funny thing, not a shock tactic into making them laugh.
Yeah. Can you remember any of those shock ones?
Oh, like, God. Ones? I remember
It's just embarrassing.
Oh, it's so embarrassing, but it just, it's, you know, we.
That's what this podcast all friends is all about. Here.
I remember one of my first ones was, it was something about being single. Because I mean, who doesn't like a young girl in usually quite sexy outfits talking about how single she is? I mean, it was a great start for me. I used to just bang on.
So did you get that kind of reaction where we're like, I don't believe
you? I think the reaction was, I hate you. just like, oh, why me? Oh, poor me with my perfect hair and makeup. But I remember a routine I used to do where I used to talk about being single and going to barbecues and turning up, and they... couples would turn up with matching Tupperware, and they would, and I would turn up with my blue bag full of red stripe on my own, and I wouldn't relate to anyone. Oh God, what was it? I wouldn't relate to anyone apart from the cheese slices that go on the burgers, because we're singles, we're individually wrapped, partly plastic. Or something. Oh, but the only difference between me and the cheese slices is that they all see more meat than I do. I mean, okay. It's just so cringe.
So what? Was that like one of the first jokes you
wrote?
Yeah,
it was one of the first ones I wrote. Yeah.
So what? When you started comedy, what was your? How did you get into that? Like, how did? Like what? How did you first start writing? Like, what was your process when you didn't really know
that? I basically, my best friend, so she convinced me to do a stand up, to go and do a tryout sort of stand up night, we were a bit drunk, and she was like, you've got to do it, you'll be so great. And she'd been sort of banging on at me for a long time, and I was like, fine. And so I signed up for the Cavendish Arms, and I sent off the email.
Oh, yeah.
And I genuinely just didn't think that they would reply. Like, I just didn't really see this as something that was accessible, really. I applied, and then almost automatically got an email back saying, yeah, you're on in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, and I just sat and I wrote out 5 minutes. And I remember actually writing every week until someone told me I'd write a brand new 5 minutes every week for my stand-up gig.
That was a good habit to get into.
Not one that I kept.
No, because I'm assuming the standard wasn't... as high.
It was absolutely exemplary, actually, Mark.
Can you remember the first joke you wrote and first joke you actually did? I'm just trying to think of what mine was.
It was definitely something to do with being single. I think I used to open with, you may recognize me from such things as your... Something like, it's so hack. Something like, you may recognize me from Tinder, LinkedIn, and your window, or something like that.
Okay. Well, rule the three. Rule the three, yeah, in there straight away.
Oh, God, this is actually amazing, reminiscing of this stuff. I used to have a routine about within the 7-minute masturbation set, which I have to say is I was doing a gig, like one of my first out of town, still open mic. I can't remember where it was now. It's just outside of town. And it was very much like my first non-London gig. And I went up there and all I had was that masturbation set. And they were... horrified.
They were
horrified.
And you got nowhere to go.
Yeah, because that's the beauty of it, is that like when you first start, you either got that or you walk off, because you haven't got anything else to give. Like, there's nothing there.
And that feeling when you do your first masturbation joke and it gets nothing, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, and then you've got another 7 minutes to go. I think it was, I opened with like, well, we all love it, didn't we?
Arms crossed.
Can't stop doing it. And then the crescendo of that set was how I described a time when I was going for it and then my dog come in and disturbed me and jumped on me. And so when I climaxed, I had him round the throat screaming his name. This is just beautiful stuff.
And they didn't go for that.
I don't understand. It's got bestiality, it's got sexiness, it's got visual aids.
Maybe it was all a bit too close to home.
Yeah, maybe.
For them.
Maybe they're enjoying it a bit too much. But
oh God. So did you then go, right, need to write some other stuff?
Well, it wasn't even like that. I think that it naturally evolved. I started, you know, in my proper relationship, which I'm still in for now, considering the lockdown.
Lockdown. Only 2 weeks in.
We're early doors. I don't know. I think I changed and for the better. And I think I kind of calmed down. And with that, I had a new perspective of writing things. And also, no, I don't know, maybe it wasn't just getting into a relationship. It was when I started signing with Curb, you know, you do go and do places like Exeter or, you know, wherever.
Yes.
You know, they need more and they need something.
And they're longer sets as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you have a bit more
time.
Yeah,
it's like half an hour. I did a set down in Exeter. I started doing stand up in March 2016, and December 2016 I was doing 30 minutes for Curb down in Exeter, and they were like, you've got half an hour, haven't you? And I was like, oh yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah. I'll stretch out 15 minutes at best.
I can push that masturbation bit to 8.
Yeah, and so. Actually it was stretching of rather sort of mediocre stuff. And as I was going up on the stage, a really drunk woman fell from the table, pulled the tablecloth, pulled all the drinks and everything over, made a massive scene, and I walked around her and just walked on the stage and didn't acknowledge it. And like the whole room is looking at her, not me. And then the bouncers come over and I just went into my set and just went through it.
Oh no.
And he's just, is that,
you could have got 10 minutes out of that.
I know. I like, even now, I don't even know if I could really pull it. But it's a funny thing because you know, in the moment and at the time, you're just trying your best and you're like, oh my God, and you're sort of trying to just swim upstream. And actually, then you look back and then you're like, oh my God, like I was such a baby. And
but that's the best way to learn. You've got, you know, throw yourself in at the deep end and you have to, you know, sing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm a much, much, much better comic for it because I had to just do it. And it's made a massive difference.
Kelly Convey!
Hey!
Good stuff. Hashtag Awooga, Kelly. And hashtag Awooga, everybody out there listening to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We've just uploaded Mark and Joel on demand onto Patreon.
Yes.
If you want to go and check that out at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. And we chat about two new TV shows, don't we, Joel? Actually, technically one new, and then one that's coming into season two soon. What We Do in the Shadows and Little Fires Everywhere. That was it. There you go. So yeah. If you want to hear what we think of those, go over to Patreon. Any feedback for this episode at Jokes with Mark across all social media? Oh, also, I put together a cool new video. Called the One Liner Challenge, where I asked 27 one liner comedians that weren't a bit too busy, and they we did a thing go check it out. It's on all my social media. I've pinned it to the top of the pages on Twitter and Facebook. So go and have a look at that. About 4 minutes long, bit of fun, lots of jokes.
Lots of fun.
You liked it, Joel. You even texted me that you liked it.
I did. Just showing some support.
Yeah. Oh, was that the only reason?
Anyway, it's been great chatting to you, Mark.
Well, you did. Hang on, you did. You no. did like it, didn't you, Joel? You didn't just do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course,
just,
I liked it. It's
for
really
myself.
Good. There's lots of.
You didn't just do it for my self confidence and sort of trying to up my.
Does it matter? You know, the end result is the same.
Not really answered my question.
No, I loved it, Mark. I thought it was really good.
Ah, a bit of fun, isn't it, Joel? Bit of fun in lockdown. What can you do? Or are we on lockdown anymore? Who knows? By the looks of it, not
Who
many
knows?
People think we are, but I am. I'm staying locked in, mate. I'm not moving.
Me too. I'm following those rules.
Yeah, I'm not even following those rules, mate. I'm going back to the original rules. I am not leaving.
Good man.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I hope everybody's all right. Hashtag Awooga, everybody. Wash your hands. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
No. Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.